And a day in court for free. What a happy day we're having, so long as we're not sitting on the sidewalk, see.
This sounds like the Santa Claus homeless cheering section.
Yeah, I'm going to continue, okay?
Go ahead.
The second day of Christmas my true love gave to me. Rules not to sit in doorways or too close to business. Less than 20 feet from a bank. I thought that last rule stank. And the rest of them stink if you ask me.
Santa, well, that's just the kind of music I had in mind.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that we can get going there.
I bet this is jolly old Saint Nick himself, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't have any presents for anybody. I'm going to come along and steal their presents this year.
Well, they stole the campground. I guess that you can't. You really can't do anything else, huh?
Maybe we ought to steal the seats out of the city council chamber.
You know, that's exactly what the homeless up in Marin did to the Board of Supervisors. They sat down in the Board of Supervisors' seats and stayed there and had to be taken out by police.
And that's what the Black Uhuru movement did in Oakland. They went and occupied the seats of the city council once. And that worked, too. The city council fled.
Well, I may have heard about that, but I know that in Marin, when they did that twice. As a result, they set up a homeless campground called Whispering Pines in 1992.
Well, can I sing Jingle Change and then I promise to go?
You can. Go for it. And whatever you do, try to be merry. And remember, this is the season to be jolly.
Okay. Jingle change, jingle change, jingle change my day. Sometimes I must panhandle just to make my way. Oh, jingle change, jingle change, jingle change my day. Oh, what fun it is to slide in a muddy hideaway.
Well, what's the next verse, Santa?
Riding through the snow, riding through the dough, gliding through the open door into every shopping store. Jingle change, jingle change, jingle change today. I'm a panhandle just to make my way.
Oh, well, that's a great, and I think those are the kind of lyrics we need more of, St. Nick.
Okay.
Anything else you wish to tell us?
I'm making copies, and I'm going to bring them along.
Are you going to be there at 2 o'clock today?
Oh, I'm not going to promise, but I'll make every effort.
All right.
I've got to polish Rudolph's nose right now.
You better go polish that. Then after you finish that, go after Paul Lee's nose, will you please?
Oh, yeah, that's a shiny one.
Indeed. It seems to get longer and longer every time he talks.
Thanks, Santa.
Okay,
bye-bye.
And to all a good night, yes. Well, that's great. Now, see, that's the kind of lyrics I think we need more of. So if you got any of those lyrics, give me a call at 427-3772, or if the show's off the air and you're taking your time composing, call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. We need lots of lyrics, and hey, the more the merrier. Let's make this a real Merry Christmas. So, Lisa, you had something you wanted to read, and then I want to get into some of the documentation of the promises that were broken by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. I mean, I've been repeating this endlessly, but hey, everybody knows that I'm a liar. I mean, I never tell the truth. So let me see if you believe the tapes that I made of the very men who first said they would let people stay till January 1st and said they would renegotiate if there was a weather problem and then broke their word. Go ahead, little sir.
Okay, these are a couple of things. One is about how police neglect going after actual violent criminals and only to spend time harassing innocent people who are just trying to exist. And the other one is about the bus drivers. This is the Metro wants to know a little flyer thing. Anyway, Floyd Crawford, a higher-up in the Metro thing, personally said he would deal with this report, request for mediation on behalf of Little Star, Tucker Sevedar, call, voicemail, 408-425-3334. As soon as possible, please, to call me into an afternoon face-to-face dialogue with two individual bus drivers who have repeatedly, purposely, and intentionally passed me by at bus stop out of malice, hatred, and personal grudge, thus persecuting me with said act of cruel, malevolent violence and failing their pay job as bus driver. By the way, I made 200 of these, and I've been passing out and posting copies. If anyone can call the Metro and help me out and tell them to be nice and to do their job and give everyone a ride when they're at a bus stop, call the Metro 426-6080. And
426-6080, folks.
And their address is on Walnut Street. It's on here somewhere, but I can't find it right now. Oh, 230 Walnut in downtown Santa Cruz. You can just walk in and talk to them and tell your feelings about all this kinds of things. Let's see, help me with legal assistance. Let's see, physical duress, strain, and hardship due to having to walk miles with a pack. You know when the bus drivers are supposed to give you a ride? Let's see, tell them to quit persecuting Little Star. Let's see. I have lodged similar valid complaints even at the office of the Metro Bus Company of Walnut, but never was I called or written as I requested to know what was done about it. And the emotionally tormentuous injustice persists unabated, delivered with calculated callous by number one out of two different bus drivers, bus driver lady number 254 and bus driver number 153. I have descriptions of them here, but whatever, I mean, I don't want to go on with all that. Let's see. Oh, the bus driver 152, then I confronted him at the Metro Center as I was writing this, actually, and asked him, and he said to my face that he will never let me ride his bus because, quote, you're crazy, unquote. And then he also threatened, he says, anytime I see you on campus, I'm going to call the police on you, which I consider walkie-talkie torture. If any of you have ever experienced, you know, having the cops called on you when you're innocent, imagine having it be done almost every day of your life, endlessly. See, the bus driver has no right to refuse service based on personal misjudgment and wrongful prejudice. I'm a harmless, gentle saint who is full of natural joy and ecstasy in the Holy Spirit. Happiness or unusualness or uniqueness or imaginative daydreaminess is not a crime. And I would like to add that also sometimes since I'm a poet and a singer and a songwriter, composer and such, sometimes I'm just like chanting or I just see the world in a funny way and I just laugh out loud. And just because he doesn't understand it, it's none of his business. All he has to do is drive the bus and pull over and give people rides. He doesn't have to make judgment calls on people's... you know, if someone's not a threat to their self or anyone else or anyone's property, then just leave them alone. They have their own personality. They have their own unique way of expressing themselves. It's supposed to be a USA free country, you know, freedom of expression. And another thing I get hassled by the cops is my freedom of expression verbally and also through my poetry distribution. And how do they expect people, if people have to pay for the right to exist, which is wrong to begin with, every creature has a free right to exist given by nature and the Great Spirit. If they create this artificial money system, they have to let people earn their livelihood then. They don't do that either. That people try to sell their craft, sell their poetry. I've gotten cops called on me, and I'm sure every other craft person or musician has gotten cops called on them plenty of times, trying to earn their livelihood. So it's just like a continuous torture cycle, which is not very kindly, okay, to say the least. Let's see. Denying service to a paying customer with a heavy pack and miles to destination is a cruel act of violence. And verbal intent to continue is an evil intention of torture. They need to grant mediation. That's what I'm asking. I want to see these people face to face. That's the same thing I wanted with those guys who beat me up. I wanted someone who has, you know, like the authority. Like, I'm just, you know, people need to communicate with each other. And I need to hear from the bus drivers and the people who beat me up, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And if they can't say that to my face in the presence of other people, then those other people have to say, okay, now it's time for you to be fired from your job, and it's time for you to go sit in jail and think about becoming a decent, civilized, nonviolent human being. Here's my thing. I was just writing a little today. Okay, the cops don't take violence complaints seriously. Little Star's been beaten by a two-man surprise attack, no warning or dialogue before a fist flew, and they kicked me for minutes while I was down being a Gandhi of nonviolence. Also, a gang of four or more young men threw rocks at me, and the cops delayed and didn't take it seriously. Yet an innocent, harmless saint like perpetual homeless pariah messiah Little Star can have anyone, citizen or employee, such as security or bus drivers, walkie-talkie torture him by calling club and gun gang cops to harass and persecute him repeatedly, denying a creature of the Creator its basic right to exist. Anti-sleep and anti-camp laws are against the constitutional right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Sleep is necessary for life. To deny sleep is to deny survival. It is torture and murder. Little Star prays for the Supreme Being to swiftly and painlessly release his soul from his body each night, peacefully during sleep. Why? Because the persecution is perpetual. Tormentuous torture is endless and unbearable. Suicide could be euthanasia, mercy killing. Because if cruel fascist Nazi death squads and their everywhere cop collars are going to painfully execute you through a long, slow, heartbreaking process of constant threats and actual violence, jail, fines, heartless confrontations, etc. And then that's why I've been writing that. But the basic idea is, can we please just all live together in peace? Forget the money system. Everyone just freely share everything, and no one will be homeless. There's plenty of land for everybody. Be kind.
Thank you, Little Star. Words of wisdom from a man who's at the receiving end of rocks, kicks, and indifference and apparently direct discrimination on the bus system, if what he says is accurate. I'm now going to, again, as I said before, turn to kind of a historical step back. We're going to look at what happened. What happened on November 28th, 1995. November 28th, if I can set the scene for you, was one day after a city council in which a number of homeless people from the campground came to the council meeting, meeting which the city council declared a so-called shelter emergency. Shelter emergency, which we had a meal outside the city council, as we used to many years ago, to bring to the city council people who wanted to speak but would be missing their meal if they came. We marched through town on a camp quest tour, looking for alternate campsites in a kind of a humorous manner, testing out different parts of the sidewalk for their suitability and so forth. And we ended up at the city hall. Well, they were going to throw us out on December 3rd. That's what they said. They were going to throw us out then. And we were making plans for protest. So in order to stop that, because the Citizens Committee for the Homeless had their 10th anniversary celebration coming up on Friday, December 1st, they came to the campground with a proposal of peace. Paul Marceau, head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program's Open Air Shelter, the campground itself, the Open Air Shelter, the Coral Street Shelter, came with Daryl Barling, head of Community House, the project that's supposed to supplant the campground, the Trailers Not Trolls project, the $1.3 million, 48-person, $200 to $600 per unit project, actually not per unit, per person. And they talked to the campers. And here's a little bit of what they said. And I'm going to interrupt the tape occasionally so you can hear my thoughts on that.
If you would bring everybody up to date on what was basically the understanding.
Yeah, Paul and I were just getting towards working at looking at, I believe, a volunteer staff of respected.
What you're hearing is a meeting under the awning, soon to be torn down, where the free meal has served for years and years and years, of about 20 people from Save Our Shelter meeting with community activists Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling. And they're discussing not just this deal, they're also discussing the kind of volunteers that are going to take responsibility for the campground. It actually seemed at that point, the impression was being given by Marceau and Darling, that they were indeed trying to work with the campers to have a campground that would last at least for a month and perhaps longer. And this was the conversation that ensued.
Paul can take care of this. You know, Paul says that's not fair.
The man who says he just wants to clarify, that voice is the voice of Daryl Darling. Daryl Darling, head of the Community House Project. He's a man who engaged in a month's worth of meetings with members of SOS, Save Our Shelter, the campers group, community members, HUF members, and city council members at the Duck Pond, at the San Lorenzo Duck Pond, to try to work out an arrangement. We thought he had worked out an arrangement. That was the impression he gave us, and that was his voice. And you hear his voice again.
Yeah, we are doing some special deal.
I don't think that would be perceived that way within the people that live back here. I think there'd be a lot of people that would be more than willing to volunteer to get the job done, and the satisfaction would be maintaining our.
The satisfaction is seeing people get better food.
But I'm saying at night when y'all close that thing, and we have nothing to wash our dishes with, nothing to wash our anything with, because we have no help.
And what's being pointed out here is that the Homeless Community Resource Center, which has hot water and which is next door, closes at night. so that there's no plumbing, there's no bathrooms, or any stinky overflowing porta potties available, which were not then being regularly emptied by the Citizens Committee on a schedule that met the campers' needs. And again, they were discussing these things as ways of, again, resolving and getting over problems and difficulties in the month ahead. The conversation, again, is from November 29th.
We have to boil it ourselves.
That's
a real pain. If you could just, I mean, just turn it on and turn it off in the daytime. To help the people, not the individuals that are working for you, or the volunteering for you.
It's also a violation of code. Not to have hot water to wash dishes if you're eating. But anyway,
we can talk to Karen about that.
Volunteer staff.
A lot of talent and a lot of brains back there. Now, I'm either on or off. I can't afford to be paid.
Well, don't pay us, pay the people that live here. That's what I'm saying. Pay the people that live here with benefits to help everybody, not just the people that are working here.
That's bullshit. We don't care about us. You see, everybody gets something better, man.
If everybody got a little bit better, if everything got a little bit better, everything would be better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If we can, as long as the weather holds out,
this is the voice of Darrell Donnelly.
January 1st, no sooner than January 1st, actually, what we're talking about is 10 days, no sooner than January 1st, right?
Right, and 10 days,
and beyond January 1st,
this is the promise that was broken. Listen closely.
10 days after the release of permits.
That's fair.
And in the meantime, everybody understand?
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
First thing they can do with.
Okay. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Then let's out of here. Okay, most everybody back here is
anxiety ridden.
Understand.
Something like that will help diffuse your anxiety and not
Okay.
Just
Okay. Now the other question, to facilitate that, we need to have a clear understanding and have about any staff or assignment so that there's some accountability. What do you think about the possibility? Do you have any reservations about the volunteer
responsible?
No, but I think we need somebody responsible and accountable on the field. Even if that's only one person who always volunteers. Somebody who has access to the telephone, somebody who can call the cops, as they call the
Uber.
And that should be a surety of everybody.
This should be the
and that should be one.
Yeah, very good. That takes care of you put somebody under their first job,
they might go all the way.
You never know.
Okay. The other thing is, and this is a side comment. If you do it this way, and you do the volunteer thing, and you keep the place clean, it doesn't look trashy, and the behavior is fine, and the cops are coming in
you
impress the hell out of the city council.
Yes.
And the city.
I understand.
So again, we're listening to the Darrell Dowling deal that got broken. We're listening to the deal between the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and SOS, Save Our Shelter, that campers will be allowed to stay till at least January 1st, then with a 10-day notice. The phrase weather permitting was used, and in the last part of this tape, you hear what they mean by weather permitting, what they claim to mean, which was that there would be renegotiations if the field was flooded. The field has never flooded. There's occasionally been a little bit of standing water that has dried up within 2 or 3 days, but it is not flooded. There was that heavy storm, which lasted briefly for a day and a half. But as we all know, there's been no significant storm since then. There's been a little rain now and then. But the field has been completely usable. So there was no weather permitting problem. And even if there had been, these men committed themselves to come back to SOS and the campers to renegotiate. Instead, on Tuesday, last Tuesday, December 13th, I believe it was the 13th, in any case it was Tuesday, a week ago, they announced, without any kind of apology or explanation, that the field was closing. And when challenged, they started citing vague health concerns, indicating that somehow it was healthier for people to be beating the bushes, hiding under the bridges, and running from the cops, than camped next to a homeless facility with hot and cold running water, toilets, and showers, and a laundromat.
And a nurse's office.
This is a strange position for anyone who is really dealing with the issue.
And
Dan's got some comments on that as well. But let's continue with this this deal. This is the conversation hearing where the deal is made between the campers and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. This is the documentation.
To do that, on your own.
Well, this is why the suggestions came up to begin with, where all of this supposed to took place.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys never got a suggestion, you know what I mean?
And I'll tell you, that's to go at it and in that spirit and in this direction is going to, as far as getting an alternate location.
You're hearing the voice of Darrell Darling, and listen very closely to this statement because it gives you some insight into the motivation of the man. He is talking about how nice it is for people to proceed in a positive vein. And this shows you what he wants is he doesn't want people to do any protesting. He wants people to keep their mouths shut and continue to give credit to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which would have been all well and good if the Citizens Committee for the Homeless had kept their word. Darrell Darling continues.
Is concerned, that's going to go 10 times further than any threat to because the spirit of threat, you know, just causes everybody to bow.
The spirit of threat is what got him there in the first place, I'm afraid. It was the protests and the petitions and the marches downtown and the action in the media that got them to even agree to consider keeping the campground open past November 2nd when they had actually driven people off the field with threats of trespass tickets and camping tickets. So Darrell Darling is, of course, misstating the situation to put it mildly. What he is saying here now is, we don't want to do any more threats, we're giving you all these wonderful things, now shut up and lay low. Unfortunately, the campers bought that, and instead of continuing to protest to make sure that Darling kept his word, they did lay low. Now, because they laid low, they're going to get buried low. At this point, he calls me Bob. Darrell repeats what the deal was for my benefit. And I, of course, interrupted because I wanted to make sure that they weren't going to do a quick, fast number on the field and clear people off, which in fact they were threatening to do a week ago again, and today they will be doing. As I am speaking, they have removed the last porta potty. They are preparing to lock the field down, do a complete sweep, and eliminate everybody who's there once they bust away the 47 people that they scared and bought off with campground space for 2 weeks at New Brighton Beach. But here again is Darrell Darling, head of Community House, reciting the deal.
Agreement is. Would you tell Bob what the agreement is?
Volunteer.
The whole thing, because evidently you misunderstood.
We're not going to be
displacing anyone. Until January 1st, and after January 1st, no earlier than 10 days after permits are released.
okay?
Okay, that's good to hear.
Well,
I still, unless the weather comes in before
the
I have my concerns satisfied that if it really gets messy and we get rains like we did last year, which I hope we never do, then we'll have to simply sit down and look at the field, see what the options are.
We'll just talk about it.
And the council has...
There is the crucial phrase. We'll sit down and we'll just talk about it. Well, they talked about it, but they talked about it to each other. They didn't talk to the campers. They told the campers what was happening. They told the campers they were out of there. They made their decisions and they broke their word. They showed that the word of people in the Citizens Committee for the Homeless Board of Directors, the appointed negotiators, was worth nothing. Nothing. Disgrace that is not going to be lived down in the days to come. It's going to take a while for that stigma to disappear. If people know this, and this is the tape that shows it, here's more.
Well, that's back to your face.
Sure. Even the three votes, one of the three, for certain, that would be virtually guaranteed friendly votes. Anything that's reasonable for the council. Once it rains, Scott has made it clear, and he's an honorable and very forthright person. He does not, he'll go with our consensus on what's safe and unsafe.
So, again, we hear Scott Kennedy, council member, though he may himself not want the campground open after the rain, will go with our consensus. Now, our consensus, I'm assuming that Daryl Dolling is including the members of the SOS group that he's talking to. That's the consensus of people that he's appealing to. He doesn't want protests from this group. He just had a massive protest the day before, actually a small protest, at City Council, and he has heard plans that in 2 days of the 10th anniversary celebration of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, where they're going to be congratulating themselves up and down with little goodies and lots of nice media, that homeless people from the campground are going to show up en masse right outside their meeting. He doesn't want that. So he's telling the campers that Scott Kennedy on the council will go with the consensus, and if there is a weather problem, they will talk it all over and decide what to do. He didn't do that, did he?
But he went, he's already said, it's raining, and inclement, this is not a place that we can, the city would consider to be.
We can get the tents off that lower end.
The lower end, that's on the higher end.
That is good.
We have that feeling place.
Yeah.
That's
some of this water down here.
Yeah, one of the things that will be helpful, I think, and I'll just throw this up for your considerations, after the armory opens on Sunday, some people are going to move and go to the armory. I'm not big on this, but just for appearance's sake, if you're getting people to move tents, those who are left, move them upfield so they're not down there.
You've got to come to higher ground, so we're going to work on the lower
ground. So now we hear Paul Marceau, he's suggesting that tents be moved to higher ground. He's the head of the open-air shelter. He's the man who, at Daryl Dolling, made the decision to close the campground. The man who broke his word and broke the word of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and one would even say of the City Council, in essence, because City Council was in on these negotiations, three council members throughout this whole process in the fall. Even though you'll hear that vigorously denied by Mayor Mike Watkin in the next bit of tape that you hear. Paul Marceau is giving campers the impression he's going to work with them, going to move tents to higher ground, prepare drainage, and in fact, campers actually secured a pump to clear out the area, and there was no standing water within a day after the rains. Is that correct, Dan?
That's exactly right. Yes, there was all the water that was down in the one end, which is the lowest spot on the field, had soaked down into the ground. There wasn't even a puddle down in the worst part of it the night before. And over in some areas where we walk a lot, there was a couple puddles. But I'm talking about puddles. We're not talking about flooding. In one of the newspaper articles, they said that the camp had been turned into a swamp. and that was just as far away from the truth as it could be. On some of the media, if anybody from the media is listening, I have noticed that some of the media actually put words in the mouth of the people that they were interviewing that had anything to do with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. When someone else was talking, you know, they would say, "Oh, well, you're not a bad human being, are you?" And of course, who's going to answer that? You're not the inhumane person, are you? And then they say, "Oh, no, not at all."
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, you judge a person by her acts. You see who a person is by what she or he does. And I'm afraid we'll have to judge the kind of human beings that these people are by the decisions that they make. Now, again, I want to make it real clear that personally, Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling seem to be reasonable and friendly people. I've had pretty good relationships with them. We're all on talking terms. But as bureaucratic instrumentalities, this homeless cleansing operation, they have my utmost contempt. And I'm sorry. They don't have my respect. They have my contempt. And as some people say, well, that's, you know, an unloving attitude. I don't feel too loving based on the kinds of lies and broken promises that have been happening here. Sorry. Here's more of this so-called agreement. This was the agreement that Daryl Darling of Community House and Paul Marceau, head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, made with the campers and then broke.
You got a little higher.